Hi everyone, welcome back to 1,000 True Crimes. This is Chelsea and I'm here with my co-host Joe.
Hey fam.
Girl, how you doing?
Hanging in there.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Nothing too exciting.
Nothing too exciting. Our country didn't fall apart on the 20th, so woo!
Yeah, that was exciting. I was a little nervous about that. I was like, ooh, what's going to go on there?
No, we did good. Did you watch it?
No, because it was at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. You were asleep.
I'm sorry, but I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to watch that. Like, that's just not happening.
No, fair enough. It was good.
Good. And what you drinking?
I have a Cabernet. Super nice. Delicious. This is my new drink these days.
I used to love red wine. And then once I had my son, I just like, ugh. I can do like one or two glasses. I think I've said that before. I can do like one or two glasses and then I'm out.
Does weird things to your body having a baby.
It does. It's
so I've heard.
It's actually like real annoying.
Sounds like it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Not a fun time.
What are you drinking over there?
I am just drinking some cupcake Sauvignon Blanc. It's
ooh, you know, yes.
We're recording a little bit later, so
I love cupcake wines. Their Chardonnay is pretty good.
I can't do Chardonnay either. I don't know. Like, I'm very, like, particular now.
Well, Chardonnay is super, like, it's like a heavy white wine. So, like, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Even before I couldn't do it, I was just like, not a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, we recorded another episode before this. So, I'm also, like, 2 glasses deep. So, this one should be interesting. Woo! All right. So our story today is about Major David Shannon. Have you heard of this one, Joe?
No, I don't think so, at least.
Okay. So we'll get our, I got a lot of the information from ID, mm-hmm. Oxygen, and our favorite Murderpedia. Yes. And we'll have the links to everything and then, the ID channel episode. Okay. That did this. So
we'll put it all in the show notes.
All on the notes. Okay, so a little background. Joan Myrtle Shannon was born in Rochester, New York, and she didn't have the best childhood. Okay. When she was 12, she came home from school one day and her parents just like moved away and left her behind.
What?
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. She tried living with her.
How old is she?
12.
Okay.
I know. Like, I was just learning how to, like, not burn bagel bites in the oven at 12.
So, like, what the fuck? Okay.
I don't understand.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so piece of shit people, human beings for her parents. Ironic that we, considering what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she tried living with her older sister, but it didn't work out, so she ended up in foster care.
Okay.
Right after high school, she got married and had 2 daughters, Daisy and Elizabeth. Okay. Her first husband was abusive, so they ended up getting divorced.
Shocker. After a fucking tragedy like that, Jesus Christ.
Seriously. She ends up going back to school during this time and getting her GED. And then also, I do want to note that in the last episode, I had mentioned about like changing of names and I was like, oh, I'm so confused. And then I remembered that a lot of shows, like when I watched them, they say like names have been changed. So like if you watch the ID channel, like the names, some names are different.
Oh, okay. So they might have changed them on purpose.
Based on what I have read in like news article and other things. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just like saw that. And then as I was like watching like more things and like doing more research, I was like, oh, duh. Like that makes sense.
Yes.
So a friend of Joan introduces her to David Shannon. David Shannon was stationed at an army post in Rochester, New York, and that's how he met Joan. And okay. I couldn't really find too much on the internet about David, like his past, like when he was born and stuff. And again, like, I'm still working on my research skills, but I tried Googling different things and I couldn't really find out too much of his past. So
okay, well, it could honestly just be private, you know?
It could be. So he makes it pretty clear to her that he is a career military guy.
Okay.
And he works as a computer specialist to support the special forces, which is, as okay. everybody knows, the Green Berets.
Okay. Okay.
In 1991, they end up getting married, and then he legally adopts Daisy and Elizabeth.
Aww.
And during their marriage, they end up having two boys. So they got married pretty quickly. I think they were only dating for like about a year or so, maybe a little over, give or take, mm-hmm. before they got married. So during their marriage, they end up moving a few times. They moved to Minnesota, and in 2000, they moved to our favorite place, Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Girl, I'm telling you, something about that place makes people go fucking crazy and kill people. Does this guy murder somebody?
No, he does. He's I don't want to get okay. into it too far into
shit
it, but no.
Shit gets crazy in Vietnam, gets crazy in Vietnam.
It's kind of like Fort Hood in Texas.
Yeah, it's like, yes, yes.
There's certain army posts that you're just like, what?
Well, you guys shit gets crazy.
An Indian burial ground or something. Like, it's just yes. bad juju.
Okay, here we go. All right, I'm ready. I'm here for it. I'm ready.
When they moved to North Carolina, the two teenage girls, they start to act out. And David's sister mentioned that, like, the girls did not want to be disciplined. And it was also brought up in other things that I saw and read was that it kind of came off that, like, Joan wasn't exactly the most loving mother and that she didn't okay. exactly, like, want to have children, in a sense.
Okay.
So it was almost like she didn't do any disciplining from what I got from it. So the girls had all this, like, could kind of do, like, what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then David was like, oh, no, we're putting rules. And again, okay. that's just like what I took from it. So, like, that's my opinion.
Okay.
The girls end up getting a reputation around town of throwing, like, wild parties while their parents were at work. And at 17, Daisy got pregnant. And at 15, Elizabeth had been kicked out of school for fights. Okay.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. These girls are angsty. Oh. All right.
That kind of gives you a little, as much as, like, background information as I could find.
All right, here we go.
So, fast forward to July 22nd, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It was an average night, nothing special going on. Joan puts her two younger sons to bed. Joan then tells Elizabeth and her friend Vera that they need to go to bed and lights out in an hour.
Okay.
Joan also mentions to Elizabeth that her and David are going to watch a movie, but he ends up, like, falling asleep before they actually watch the movie.
Okay.
At around 3 a.m., Joan is woken up because David is shot twice, once in the forehead and once in the chest, while she lays next to him in bed.
Whoa, okay, another one. We are hitting the ground running. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's shot twice.
Once in the head and once in the chest.
While they are sleeping in bed. All right,
mm-hmm.
Here we go.
So Joan calls 911 at 3:07 a.m. and she's super freaked out. And she's asking for an ambulance and she keeps, like, shouting, like, they shot her husband. And, like, you can hear the 911 and it sounds pretty believable.
It's intense.
Yeah. So okay. one of the first officers on scene, this is an interesting name, Vanilla Godbold.
I'm sorry, his first name is Vanilla?
Fanella. F-A-N-E-A-L.
Fanella. Okay.
Fanella. Godbold. G-O-D-B-O-L-D.
Okay. That's the name.
She is an officer with the Fayetteville Police Department. She arrived at the scene. She asked Joan what had happened, and Joan was like, She says that her husband had been shot and she couldn't make out any details of the shooter, just that it was a shadowy figure in the room and that they ran down the hall.
Okay.
After David was shot, she calls 911 immediately and she is outside the house waiting for them. But she never checked on her kids.
I was going to say, remember, where's her kids? Are they with her?
No. They're still in the house.
Ugh.
Which,
don't like that.
No. Which, like, I understand people do different things in a panic situation, but no loving parent,
like, you don't would even just have to leave be a loving child. Parent. No responsible adult in charge of children.
Exactly.
Would leave them alone, unattended in a house.
If you don't know what happened to. Shot. Yeah, exactly. And you don't know what happened to the person that shot your husband.
Okay. Yeah. Painting a picture of Joan here. I get it. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
So the clops, Jesus. This, as you can tell.
Wait, how much wine have you had, girl?
I'm on like my third glass. So the cops clear the house. And when they clear the bedrooms, they, like, see the two small boys. They're safe and sound. Nothing happened to them. So we can all,
oh, thank God. Yeah.
Hallelujah. And they end up at Elizabeth's room, which is locked.
Okay.
So they yell for her to open, and she opens the door. And it's just, like, Elizabeth and her friend Vera.
Okay. Oh, they're fine.
And pretty much at this point, they discover David, and he's dead. And they determine he's the main target. And it was an execution-style killing, but there's no force entry.
Hmm.
And they test everyone in the house to make sure that they don't, like, they don't have any gun residue on them. Mm-hmm. And they all test negative. So I did read somewhere that, like, Joan had residue on her, but it ended up being, like, it didn't relate or something like that. Like, they all test negative for being, like, the shooter, essentially.
Okay.
So now the detectives are starting to wonder, like, he's a computer specialist, and he's a major, so he has, like, top secret clearance. For the Green Berets, could his job have something to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
They go to his command, and pretty much the command backs him up, and they say, like, everyone liked him. But, like, yeah, everything he was working on could have made him a target.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up, like, that doesn't really go anywhere. They're okay. Kind of like, no. It doesn't add up.
Okay.
So detectives are, like, searching the house. And they did find 3 firearms recovered from the master bedroom. But none of them were the murder weapon.
Okay.
But they do find a ton of porn magazines, videos, and sex toys in one of the closets. And I'm not talking, like, a couple here, a couple of the, like, boxes and boxes. Ooh. Yeah, it's a lot.
Boxes? Okay, listen. We have this box in our bedroom that is labeled do not open in case of emergency, so that our family knows, just toss that box. You know, like, just don't.
Okay, so essentially, if you die, I'm gonna tell your family that I'm gonna go to your house and grab the box for you.
You go first.
Because I can guarantee you, as a parent, if I went into my son's room and he had said, do not open in case of an emergency, I'd be like, motherfucker, I'm opening this.
No, it doesn't say do not open in case of an emergency. It says, if there's an emergency, don't open this box.
Okay, guess what I'm gonna do as a parent? I'm opening that box.
Okay, so I need to add another note. I'm going to say this box.
Please give this
is
to
only
Chelsea.
For Chelsea.
Yes, thank you. And I'm not going to look in it, and I'm going to throw it in the ocean, not in the ocean.
Yeah, just toss, like, it out there. Nobody needs it.
I'm just
going to
throw it in the trash, not into the ocean. Protect our oceans. We
but that's
them.
One box. That's one box.
Yeah,
one.
This is more than one.
You know how many toys we have in this box? Holy shit. That's a shit ton of toys. Boxes? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. What year is this? Hold on. Wait, before I, like, get too crazy, because was porn available on the internet?
Yes, this is 2002.
No, like, what the fuck? Okay, all right, so we got some weird shit going on.
Yeah. I guess, 2002. I mean,
you
I
have internet
just
then.
Becoming, yeah, but, like, I still remember having a computer room in 2001 and 2002.
But you could, but internet was, but porn
it
was
available. It was available. It's not like it is today.
Right. And you shouldn't have boxes of porn in your attic. Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Anyways, moving on from the
I'm just
porn.
Trying to figure out, listen, I don't want to kink shame. You live your kink. You do your kink. Enjoy it. I'm trying to rationalize how much boxes and boxes of toys are. And that seems excessive a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So the detectives are like, huh, this is like, it's a little weird. Like, yeah. We're going to question. So they question Joan about their marriage. And what they find is that Joan and David had an open marriage.
Ah, okay. Okay. Now it makes a little more sense.
Joan claims that it was his idea to have the open marriage, like, early in their marriage.
Okay.
So they end up becoming involved in the swinger lifestyle. And the detectives find out that they are active members of the Fayetteville Gangbangers, which is a swingers club.
Oh, my. Scandalous.
I was like, that's quite a name for a,
no kidding.
A club there.
Good gracious.
When I heard, like, the Gangbangers, like, swingers club, for some reason, the vampire club that we went to in New Orleans,
oh,
like,
yeah,
popped
yeah.
in my head.
Oh, yeah. That's where they met. You know, there's some chapter of the Gangbangers that are meeting there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a different story for a different time.
Why are her knees bloody?
I just remember asking him, like, Chelsea, where were all the vampires? And you're like, you were literally talking to them. And I was like, for anyone that has been to New Orleans, like, it's a whole different world.
It's so fun.
It's so much fun. And it was my bachelorette party. We ended up somehow at a, like, one of the only vampire club, like, and vampires I put in, like, quotes, like, I don't know. I don't want to, they consider themselves vampires, right?
To be honest, I'm not fully educated, so I'm just,
I'm not educated, but anyways,
I don't know.
But it was one of the only vampire clubs that was open to the public. And it used to be like a BDSM club back in, like, the 70s. And anyways, I was talking to the bartender. She was super nice. And they had one of the best drinks I've ever had.
Such great drinks.
The Witch's Brew. I still remember that. Through all the drinks I had. It was so good.
No,
and
did,
I was like so determined. I was like, I want to meet a vampire. Like, who are these people? It's very interesting. Well, she was like one of them. And I talked to her the whole night and I had no idea. So
yeah, and like that one, that was the one right there. That was
That was the one. Well, then I also walked in an all white dress, so like with black lights. So
yeah,
I looked
she
like
just
the
straight
ultimate
up looked
sacrifice.
Like the virgin ready for sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little interesting. Anyways.
Oh, good times.
Good times. So they're part of the Gangbangers Club. And the Shannons would record and take pictures of what they were doing in the bedroom.
Okay.
So Joan and David had a rule, though. It's just sex. And David gets to watch.
Ooh. Ooh.
But then I also saw articles where, like, Shannon got to watch. So I think it's kind of Joan got to watch. So I think it's kind of like, I think it came off like David got to watch more, but then also like,
She got into it from time to time. From time to time. Okay.
So now the detectives are like, huh, that's a little interesting.
Okay.
And they track down some of the members, and one of the members from the group tells them to check out Jeffrey Wilson.
Okay.
So David had contacted Jeffrey Wilson sometime in like end of November, beginning of December of 2001 in a chat room, which Joan had requested, but because his name in the chat room was Black Stuntman.
Okay.
Also, David and Jeffrey worked together.
Oh, that's not good.
So Jeffrey worked at the military hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. And in February of 2002, Dave introduced Joan to Jeffrey based on Joan's request. And Joan and Jeffrey start to have sexual encounters, And it's not too long before they start to see each other weekly.
That wasn't part of the plan.
Well, Joan and Jeffrey start having one-on-ones, and David agrees to this. So David is no longer involved in, like, their one-on-ones, but he agreed to it.
Okay, okay. All right, then that all is well.
But she ends up bringing Jeffrey to the house and introduces him to Elizabeth and the two boys. They start going out to dinner. They're coming back to the house. So this relationship is now turning into more than just sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. So they interview Jeffrey, and pretty much he, like, admits that he would go after women who were married or in a relationship but weren't being satisfied, and he would fill in the gap of what the boyfriend or husband couldn't do. Okay. Hence, black stuntman.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Kinky little devil.
Mm-hmm. So he tells detectives that over the months, Joan started to develop feelings for him. Okay. But Jeffrey really refused to get romantically involved. And Joan was, like, buying him things and taking him to dinner. So he was getting a lot out of this. Like, at one point, she, like, I don't know if she offered. I don't know if she bought, but, like, he had mentioned a motorcycle.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, so, like, so they're making money in whatever the career is that they have in the military.
I mean, as a major, you're doing pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what Jeffrey Wilson's rank was. It was never established. And he could have maybe been just, like, a civilian working at the military hospital. I don't know.
Okay. But he has some cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So eventually David figures out that Joan is getting feelings for Jeffrey. Mm. And pretty much tells her that, like, she can't do any more one-on-ones and that it's, like, it's over. It's done.
Fair.
Because that's part of their agreement. Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
But Jeffrey and Joan keep seeing each other behind David's back. But, like, Jeffrey put up that, like, very, like, I'm just here for the sex. Like, we're not getting romantically involved. Like, this is just, it's never going to happen.
Okay.
So detectives are like, uh-uh, you're the prime suspect. But Jeffrey's alibi checks out. He was at work that night.
Perfect. Okay.
So now they're like, okay, could it be Joan?
Could it?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
I was going to say, she's not on my radar, but I guess it could be.
So two things are sticking out to detectives at this point. When David was shot, there was hardly any blood splatter on Joan.
Right.
But there was blood everywhere in brain matter on the bed and the wall, which if you were next to a person who had just been shot, there would have been something.
I see.
They asked her about this, and she said that she sleeps wrapped up in blankets, and there was blood on the blankets.
Okay.
Two. When she called 911, she ran out of the house thinking the killer might still be inside.
And left her kids there.
And no parent, no, like you said, no responsible adult would ever do that.
Hell no. Hell no. Trust me, you don't have to be a parent. If anything happened with my charges, you best believe I'm going down with a fight.
Mm-hmm.
My charges. If something ever happened with your child while they were in my care, going down without a fight, you know? Like, it's not happening.
Yes. Yes. Like, I
don't fuck with kids.
No, you would have to kill me to hurt my son. Like, that's just how it is. I would never just, like, if I woke up and my husband had been shot and I was like, holy shit, I just saw the killer run out the room, I would be going straight to my son's room. I would
Absolutely. Yep.
I would be kicking out the window and jumping down our two-story house.
So this is making them speculate that maybe she wasn't as stressed out about a killer being in the house as she claimed.
She stated, like I said, that she was panicked and she wasn't thinking. But, like,
we'll see. We'll see.
So also, in 2002, Elizabeth overhears a phone conversation where Joan says, blank rides on a plane, rides on planes all the time. Why can't one of those plane? Why can't one of his planes go down?
Ooh, not good, not good, not good.
Okay. So a week after the murder, the detectives get a call because at this point they suspect Joan, but they don't have like any evidence. Okay. Really. So they get a call and the person said that he was at a party with Elizabeth and he overheard Elizabeth and Vera talking about how Elizabeth was bragging that she shot her stepdad.
What?
Mm-hmm. So now they start to look into Elizabeth's past.
How old is Elizabeth at this time? Do we know?
15. 15. She's okay. 15. Okay. So she did have a history of running
her
away.
Past.
And like I said, huh? Yeah, her past. Her 15.
Her past.
Like,
yeah. Yesterday. That's what they mean. Yesterday.
I just got done shopping at Claire's at like 14. So like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Exactly. Like her past.
Yeah.
All right. They're checking it out.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, she had gotten kicked out of school because of fights and this and that. She did have a history of running away, sneaking boys into the house, drugs. And like I said, she was not close with her mother at all. It was mm-hmm. almost as if her mom didn't really want her.
Mm-hmm.
She was overlooked and didn't have any love or guidance from her mom. Aww. Yeah, which is really sad. The detectives go to speak to Elizabeth, but she ran away. And her mom was like, oh, she ran away a couple days ago. Like very like nonchalant about it. So they go to talk to Vera Jackson and Vera denies that she was involved in the murder because Vera was the friend
mm-hmm.
that had was there that night. And they kind of like scare her into talking about like the time she could get if she was withholding information. Mm-hmm. And Vera
and
finally talks. She's young. And she said she wasn't really there. She was outside when David was shot and admits that Elizabeth did shoot her father.
What?
Mm-hmm. So the day before the murder, Vera and Elizabeth went to a construction site and practiced shooting. They ask, like, the detectives are like, where did Elizabeth get the gun and, like, the idea? And Vera tells them that Joan did, and it was Joan's idea.
No!
And it is very important to note that Vera was never charged with any crime.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? So what she's insinuating is that this child who is desperate for her mother's attention and approval tried to plant the seed in this child's mind that perhaps if she took care of this problem for her mother, there might be some reward of attention.
Pretty much, yeah.
What a bitch! Oh,
and
my
that,
God.
Like, they could start over and they could have a new life. And yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
So Joan, like, preyed on her daughter's, like, insecurity and weaknesses.
That they had as a result of her bad parenting.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. I know it's not over yet.
So July 30th, 2002. Fayetteville police arrest Joan Shannon for murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
Okay.
Police get a tip that Elizabeth was hiding in a local mobile home park and arrest her.
Okay.
Because remember, she ran away and they couldn't find her.
Yeah, yeah.
The police, though, they did tell her her rights and that she did have a right to a lawyer and all that stuff. So she knew she had the right to a lawyer, but she's 15 and she doesn't really understand what that means.
No,
in
she's
her
a baby.
Mind, she's thinking, oh, I don't have money to pay for a lawyer, so I can't afford one.
Aww.
So I have no choice but to talk to the police. So PSA, if you are ever in that situation, please know that the court has to appoint a lawyer to defend you if you can't afford one.
For free.
For free. Yep. So if you are ever taken into questioning, do not say a word. I don't care how guilty it makes you look. Do not say a word. Say, I want lawyer.
Wait for your lawyer. Yep.
Done. End of story. Don't even.
Yep.
But anyways, Elizabeth admits to shooting David. And gave the gun. Yep. And gave the gun along with her clothes to her friends who were outside waiting for her in a back. Again, her friends never got charged. Like, I don't think they didn't really know what was going on.
I mean, they're children. They're children.
Yeah, they're children. When asked why she did it, she said, because my mom wanted me to.
Oh, oh, my heart is breaking.
Joan had spent months trying to convince her to kill David. Joan keeps pushing her and promising her a better life, and she needs her to do this and everything will go back to normal.
Oh.
She started to spend time with Elizabeth, which she never did before, and she was talking to her and listening to her. Pretty much she's like being a mom to convince her to do this.
Oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah. So August 2005, this is when the trial took place. Elizabeth accepts a plea deal, taking the stand to testify against Joan and tells the jury what happened on July 22nd.
Okay.
So this is everything that I read on I think it's like Murderpedia where they have the transcripts
yeah.
from the trial. So this is what I read from what Elizabeth said on the trial and like all the testifying and all that stuff. So before the murder, Elizabeth testifies that Joan had attempted to poison David several times in late April and early May of 2002. Also, Elizabeth says Joan once asked Daisy if she knew where she could acquire the date rape drug to give to David. David had over $700,000 in life insurance, and all of that would go to Joan. And since he was active duty, Joan and the kids would get monthly military benefits if David died.
Oh my God.
Joan couldn't find anyone to kill David, so she turns to Elizabeth. Elizabeth testified.
She turns to her daughter, her 15-year-old daughter.
Yeah, well, she turned to her 17-year-old daughter, too.
Oh, my God. What a bitch.
So, Elizabeth testified that Joan asked her if she knew anybody that would be able to shoot David. Elizabeth said that she would talk to her friend Anthony Jones about getting a gun, but Jones refused to help her. Elizabeth then asked.
Because he's smart?
Yeah. Donald White if he could kill David for money, but Donald refuses as well.
Also smart.
Now, this is when Joan starts to pressure Elizabeth into doing the murder. She eventually gives Elizabeth a gun, told her how it worked, and ended up putting the loaded gun, bullets, and surgical gloves in a drawer in Elizabeth's room.
Oh. My dear Jesus.
I know. The very next day, Elizabeth agrees to it.
Special place in hell.
So on July 22nd, 2002, at 11 p.m., Joan told her we were going to watch a movie and go to bed, which is the code that everything is good to go. Elizabeth puts on the surgical gloves and sweat clothes over her clothes, gets the gun that Joan gave her, then heads into the master bedroom. Elizabeth stands over David and shoots him in the head. He starts to breathe erratically, so she shoots him again in the chest. Joan then grabs a cordless phone and tells Elizabeth to dispose of the gun, and that Joan says, I need to think of something to cry about.
How dare she?
Yeah.
Well, how it gets a little... dare she?
I know. I know. It's insane.
How... you could manipulate your daughter's love and need for you.
Well, any child's need.
To such a... how dare she?
I know. To any child.
Oh, my God. Yes, not just a daughter. I mean, your son. Your child's need for a mother that you've been denying them. Ugh.
Because you hear about how, like, children are, like, I just, like, they could have the most abusive parents, and they, like, they still love them.
It's a sick nature of us as children. We love our
so
parents.
So all our children want to do is have our love and acceptance, and we'll do almost anything.
Not even a joke.
To have that.
Not even a joke.
So where are they now? Joan was sentenced to life in prison without parole on August 31st, 2005.
Yes.
And is at the Southern Correctional Institution in, I think it's Troy, North Carolina.
Ooh, that's not a good spot. Good.
It doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like there's a lot going on in Troy, North Carolina.
No, it's not a good prison.
Elizabeth was sentenced to 25 to 31 years in prison and is
25?
Yeah, is at the North Carolina Correctional Institute for Women in Raleigh. She's near you.
Yeah, I was going to say that's in Raleigh. Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah. And like,
it's a good prison. That's a good one.
I have a hard time allowing minors to be in prison for that long. I get that there are some. There are some that 100% need to be behind bars for the rest of their life. There's a lot of cases.
But not this little girl.
But I also think that at 15, you're still
with the context. With the context of this specific case, like she got fucked over by her mom.
And I think there's a lot of cases that should be reexamined that involve children.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, especially like people of color. Like we know it. Like,
And I do think if you get sentenced as a child to prison, especially for that long, I think it should be like mandatory that you get your GED.
Yeah,
and then you can decide if you want to do a trade or go to or get your college degree.
Yeah, and that should be. I mean, it's
and of course therapy. But it's a very, don't like, get me sad. Wrong.
Like, yeah, it's really, and like, the thing that sucks is like, she did this to gain her mother's approval. Mm-hmm. And now that she's done it.
And she didn't have a lawyer representing her.
And her mom wasn't there for her then. Of course she wasn't. Surprise, surprise. And now she's facing 25 years minimum, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, 25 to minimum? 31 years.
Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't seem right. And not only that, okay, so, and that's what I was getting at, is not only that, she's bearing the burden of having murdered somebody, which at 15 doesn't mean anything to you. At 25, that's going to fuck up your life.
So put a pin in that because, okay. I'm very pro, like, I think our justice system needs to be reformed, our prison system needs to be reformed.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to children. I do believe that children, I don't believe that a 45-year-old male rapist is going to be able to be fixed. I don't think that's possible. Yeah. But I do believe that a 15-year-old child.
Little girl. Child.
I'm going to say child because boys and girls have more of a chance and opportunity if we are giving them the guidance and the love that they need.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Elizabeth's earliest release date is in 2029. Aww. So it's coming up. And she would be 42 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
God damn it. Joan
maintains her innocence and solely blames Elizabeth.
Fuck Joan. What a piece of shit person.
Yeah. Since Elizabeth has been in prison, she has racked up over 30 offenses ranging from theft to fighting to sexual acts.
Oh, poor baby.
David's family stood by Joan, laying blame solely on Elizabeth.
Nice.
David's sister has quotes saying, "Elizabeth is a very vindictive, evil child." And she told Snapped that, "I know Joan is innocent. She had nothing to do with David's murder. This was
what?
Elizabeth's evilness." And that is the case of Major David Shannon.
So his family, with the exception of his family, with the exception of his sister, are like, no, Elizabeth sister. Is innocent.
From what I saw on Oxygen was that, I'm on the website right now.
Okay.
It just mentions the sister-in-law. So David's sister, Elizabeth, is very vindictive, evil child, Virginia
I just don't believe children can be evil. A-N-Z. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Damn. Yeah.
I gotta feel sorry for her. I
feel sorry. I feel sorry for Elizabeth because I don't think she had a chance.
No. Yes.
I think at 15, if you're getting kicked out of school for fights, you have a lot of anger and there's a lot of things going on.
Yes. Yes.
So, but yeah.
Oh my God. It was a crazy one. No, I have no words. Like, that's awful. Mm-hmm. All of that is awful.
Because, like, if Joan is telling the truth, which my personal opinion is that she's not, but if she is, that is really sad that she's spending the rest of her life in prison.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because...
How many witnesses did they have in the transcripts? Did it say?
Oh, no. I mean, they probably did, but it gets into, like, really legal terminology. I feel like the fact that Elizabeth, like, started talking. Yeah. But it does make me wonder that David's family is so on Joan's side. Like, what? Because everything I found, it was all, like, anti-Joan. I didn't find much like, oh, this is why it could have not involved Joan. But the family...
But then we have to go back to Jeffrey McDonald's
episode. But they became... There's a ton of evidence that came out. And I guess maybe they're right. Not doing the research. I don't know. I mean, Freddie was like, fuck you, Jeff. I'm coming after you after he did his own fucking research. So, like, maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying from everything that I found, it's very that Joan is the one that masterminded it and Elizabeth is the one that pulled the trigger.
I think that you're right. And I'm not trying to say that, like, she shouldn't be punished. I think regardless, she's at 15, you're old enough to know you shouldn't kill people, A. And B, like, they're just... I'm not saying that she shouldn't have consequences for doing that act, but 25 years seems real
steep. And if you're going to do something that steep, then it needs to be mandatory. Like, you have to get your GED. You have to either pick a trade or you do school in prison.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not opposed to that either. I mean, like,
because I feel like
therapy should be mandated. I think
it's like, what is it, like Switzerland or something like that? They did where they like actually gave therapy. Like every prisoner had therapy, and like they got their education. They had that resource, and like majority of them were able to function.
They did better
in society.
Yeah. No, we have a fucked up system that's really now, fucked up.
Am I really... saying that all children that commit crimes deserve this? No. No. Because there are a lot of cases that I've heard and read about where children, I'm just like, yep, you're just evil. Hate to say it, but yeah, something's not, I don't want to say evil. Let me take that back. Something's not right.
Let's not say evil. Let's say damaged.
But anyways, Joe, quickly, what's your weekly win? Because baby B is like losing his shit.
So my weekly win is that I'm like super on top of my Valentine's Day shit. I am on it this year. This year, shit is going to be cute and sweet and romantic, and I'm so excited.
Oh, good.
What about you? What's your weekly win?
I am getting back into my routine of working out. And so the past 2 days, I have been working out because we're recording this a little bit earlier than we normally do. My past few days, I've been working out, getting up at 5,
woo!
Doing my thing. So trying to lose all the weight that me and my husband gained when he was home. I put on like my shorts that like are always usually pretty loose on me, and they were like a little tight, and I was like, you are not 22 anymore, girl. Ooh. You gotta stop. You can't eat God. Cheese fries at midnight anymore.
Again.
Like, you gotta stop. So, but
all right, well, listen, you guys follow us. Our Facebook page is 1,000 Ways, excuse me, 1,000 True Crimes Podcast Discussion Group. And then on Instagram, it's 1,000 True Crimes Pod. We have all of our drop dates, all of our information, all of the links are on there. And if you really, really love us and you really, really want to be an MVP, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a subscribe. And if you want to be an MVP, we will give you a personal shout out. Share our content. That would be awesome. We would love you for it. Yes. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Until next time.
All right. We'll see you guys next week for another hopefully not so horrible crime.
It's not so great because it's a crime, but.
God damn it. No promises.
I already just did it. I just got done last night and I was like, oh, it's not so bad. And then I remembered and I was like, no, it's actually pretty. It's it's a little worse.
Listen, it's true crime. You guys are along for the ride. Yeah.
If you're expecting to have a happy ending, you're in the wrong podcast.
No, no, no. Go over to 1,000 ways to have a happy marriage. Happy endings there.
Not happy endings here. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys. We'll see you next week.